Let's start off in Psalm 28. Psalm 28, continuing on our study of keep thy heart. Why is your physical heart in the condition it's in right now? Whatever it is, good or bad, healthy or unhealthy, how come your physical heart is the way it is at this very moment? Has a lot to do with your personal habits, correct? And I know people aren't born with issues that much out of their control, but a lot of time people have hearts that are unhealthy due to poor activities they're involved in, whether it be poor nutrition, no exercise, or putting things in their body such as nicotine that would harm them and all other sorts of drugs. So just a reminder about the importance of the physical heart, so that when we look at the heart in the Bible, it's a spiritual application, but nevertheless, spiritually and physically, the heart is very, very important. A couple of fun facts about your physical heart that might have something to do with spiritual heart health. The most number of heart attacks occur each year on... anybody want to guess what day? Christmas Day. How'd y'all know that? Christmas Day. The day after Christmas and New Year's Day are a close second. That's kind of interesting. People can get really stressed out around Christmas time, can't they? Probably has something to do with it. There are more heart attacks that happen on a certain day of the week than any other day of the week. You get one guess on this one. Monday! More heart attacks on Monday than any other day of the week. Again, consider, when are people more stressed out than any other day? Usually on Monday. It's not Friday or Saturday. Other days of the week just don't make sense, but Monday, oh, that's the stressful day. Can be. And then, last of all, you already know this, but I'll say it again. Heart disease is the number one cause of death in the United States. That's why it's important to be good to your heart, both physically and spiritually. And you have a lot to do with your physical and spiritual heart health. Decisions are made by you on a regular basis that determine what condition your heart is in, both physically and spiritually. So we will begin tonight with the negative and end with the positive. If you're wondering why I do that, I have a strategy. That's God's way of doing things. You ever notice that? Now, what does our world want? It can be something positive and more positive. And don't say anything negative. Positive, positive, positive. But consider something. I've said it before, but it's worth thinking about again. Christ died. Death is a negative thing, right? What did he die for? Your sins. Sin's a negative thing. And he was buried. Is there anything positive? Now, I understand that's part of the gospel and it ends up positive, but not yet. Death, sin, being buried. Negative, negative, negative. Now you get the positive. What's the positive? He rose from the dead. So negative before positive. To get saved, you had to have a negative attitude about me, you. You had to have a negative attitude about you. I'm the problem. I'm a sinner. Then you can be introduced to what Christ did for sinners. And there, that results in a positive when a person trusts Christ as Savior. But I have a strategy here, so we'll start off with the negative. Sherry and I work in school, and we were just talking about on the way over here about discipline systems in schools. And the big strategy right now is, I was just looking at something this afternoon about this, positive behavioral support for students. That means you never deal with bad behavior, right? How are you going to deal positively with bad behavior? You're not dealing with the bad behavior. You're avoiding the bad behavior. So I am purposely covering the negative, and then we'll get to some really good stuff. Number two and three, I'm overloading you with negative or with positive tonight. Two out of three are positive tonight, so don't accuse me of being all negative all the time. Okay, so the first one, Psalm 28, look at verse 2. Psalm of David here, he says, "Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is where?" First heart we're going to discuss tonight is a mischievous heart, a heart set on mischief. If you look at what David prays, it's always so interesting to read David's prayers. You can learn a lot and actually take some of the things that David says and the strategies he uses in prayer and make them your own. Verse 4, here's what he says. He prays about these people. "Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands, render to them their desert, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up." So David prays against those who have mischievous hearts. So I don't need you to, if you just cannot refrain from saying something, that's okay. But I'll ask you to consider and think about, and if you just have to say something, fine. Consider who might have a mischievous heart in our world today. Look at who David pinpoints in verse 3. The wicked. And then the workers of iniquity. And then he tells you about them. What do they say? What comes out of their mouth? Peace. I want peace. I want everybody to get along. They say that. But what do they have in their hearts? Mischief. Notice it says mischief in their hearts. So let's talk about a mischievous heart. Mischief. An act that is intended to cause harm or trouble. A mischievous person is basically a troublemaker, right? Here's the thing about a mischievous person. What do they often say about their trouble that they cause? "I was just playing. I was just playing around." Actually, they meant to hurt somebody or to make it very difficult on somebody. They were as intent in the trouble or the harm that they brought. So you want to avoid this particular heart. You do not want to have a mischievous heart. Psalm 140. Psalm 140. Let's go over there. A mischievous heart. You find several verses here in Psalms and Proverbs, and show you a few of those, and then we'll hop over to Daniel for the last one on a mischievous heart. Psalm 140. Look at verse 1. "Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their hearts. Continually are they gathered together for what?" Now, isn't that something? I'll just take our country. I've been alive since 1972. Several of you here have been around a lot longer than that. And you have seen, we do not go very long without being engaged in a war somewhere in the world. Have you noticed that? Some much bigger than others, obviously. But it seems like war is something the United States is almost always involved in. And if you know anything about the war machine, do you know why a lot of folks, particularly those in high places of our government, you know why they seem to enjoy the fact that we're at war? War is a racket. It's a moneymaker for certain people. And they don't consider that people are dying. They don't care. And what they're concerned about is their pocketbook. For the love of money is the root of all evil. So when you see wars, and oftentimes I know just in my lifetime I've scratched my head, I'm thinking, why are we going to war? Like, what's the purpose of this? This really doesn't have anything to do with our country, but we're getting involved, and usually there's something associated with almighty dollar connected with that. So mischief in the heart results oftentimes in war. Let's go on here. Verse 3. "They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips, Selah." Always talking about, you have to watch out about what they say, because what they say does not always match up with what's in their heart. They'll sound one way, and then in their heart, that's another thing. Verse 4, "Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked." There it is again. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. Okay, so I know that we can all think of, first and foremost, we think of probably politicians have mischievous hearts. And you're probably right about that. A lot of them do. But where else might you find people with mischievous hearts? Help me out here. What do you think? Legal system. There would be mischief in the legal system. Oh, yes. How about, Zane, I thought you were going to say something else, so I'll say it for you. How about your Bible correctors, your so-called scholars, which once again, what's the reason behind 157 or however many translations in English that we have of the Bible? Almighty dollar. Mischief in the heart. See, they'll say, we're trying to give you something that you can trust. This is better than what we had, but there's a giant marketing campaign behind that so that they can get people to buy their latest edition of the Bible, I should say, in quotation marks. So that's interesting. Other places you can think of where there's mischief in the hearts of people? Medical field. We saw some of that here in the last 3 years. Yeah. Really? You're aiming that right at me? I'm with you. No, you're right. Listen, sometimes you think you're preaching to people, and then the people in the pew just preach right back at you. No, that's good. You're right. You're exactly right. Media. Oh, lots. It sounds like, folks, there's mischief everywhere. Sure is. So, unsaved preachers, yeah. They have pulpits? Oh, you better believe it. Yeah, so there's mischief everywhere. So, as we've said already, the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So I would just give you this advice. Whether or not you can really trust a person, you got to watch them for a while and listen to them for a while and look at the fruit that they've brought forth or lack thereof over a long period of time. So you can really find out what's in their heart. And here's what you'll find. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just being honest here. And you know this is true. And the folks that are older than me in the room, which is most of you, you really know this is true. There's actually only a small number of people that ultimately you can trust. Right? A lot more people you can't trust than you can. So, and I think that's par for the course. Okay, let's go over to Proverbs. How about Proverbs? I'm going to give you a reference. Proverbs 6 has a lot about a mischievous heart. I'm going to skip that one. I'm going to go to Proverbs 24. And then we'll end up over here in Daniel. Proverbs 24. Avoid the mischievous heart. Both watch out for it in others, but watch out for it in yourself as well. All right, 24:1. Proverbs 24:1. Be not thou envious against evil men. That word keeps popping up here in these verses on mischief. Neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. And I know it says that doesn't say their heart is mischievous, but out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it does match there. It says their heart, and notice that word. I know for a long time I struggled with this verse, and then a certain event happened in our world that I thought, okay, now I got some understanding on this. It says their heart studieth destruction. And over the last, though it's been over 20 years now, you heard a lot of talk in our world about terrorism. And if you think about what terrorism is, terrorists are people who literally study, figure out how they can destroy other people. Isn't that something there? But the same people that you've seen over the years that are truly terrorists, when you see them talk on TV, nothing of the sort comes out of their mouth. They try to hide it. Now, sometimes you catch them and it will come out because they just can't keep what's in their heart inside all the time. But oftentimes they're up to something, up to no good, although it might sound sometimes like they're in your favor. They're actually on your side. Okay, let's go over to Daniel. I thought this would be an interesting one to end on. And I am kind of aiming at a little bit of a political slant here tonight with the mischievous heart and on purpose. Go to Daniel and you'll see why. Now, I don't want to get you too off course here, but there's a lot of weird things going on politically right now in our world. And I just say, be careful, because I would say the devil actually wants you to take sides. And the side you need to be on is the Lord's side. Be careful about being on this politician or that politician's side, because ultimately they're going to disappoint you, aren't they? You've been around long enough, you folks have been around long enough to see that you start putting your faith and trust in a person in the political arena, they will lead you to disappointment. So this is just a little insight. Daniel 11, go down to verse 20, 21. A little insight into the heart of politicians. This is really interesting. 11:21. This is actually some tribulation stuff. So this actually applies to the Antichrist. There may be actually some connections to some of his cohorts here. Actually, there definitely is in this chapter. Maybe even the false prophet. I'm not 100% sure about that. But definitely tribulation. Politicians in a tribulation. We'll just say it like that. So look at 21. It says, "And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, in whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in how? Peaceably, and obtain the kingdom how?" So he might be a guy that tells everybody what they want to hear and make all these campaign promises so he can get elected? Okay, and then you'll see that if you go down, I'll keep reading here. I was going to skip, but this is good stuff. Let's read. "And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant, and after the league made with him, he shall work how?" So he's going to make this big covenant, this big league, it says there, and then he'll go behind the back of those he promised. It says he'll work deceitfully, "for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province. He shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time." Real interesting here. If you would, go down there to verse 27. Got the king of the south that shows up here in verse 25. And if you look at verse 27, it says, "And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief." Now watch this part right here. "And they shall speak" what? "Lies at one table, but it shall not prosper. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed." Now, I want to really focus on that particular verse. There's a whole lot in this chapter. But that particular verse, you have these two kings that are both set on mischief. And they sit down across the table from one another to bargain. And what are they telling each other? Who's telling lies? One of them or both of them? Telling lies to each other. I think you get a real glimpse into the heart of politicians far and wide when you start studying this stuff here. Their heart is set on mischief, yet they appear to be peaceable. And then they sit down and make a deal. And they make a deal, yet they break it. And then they sit down again, and all that's going back and forth is lies. But you know how the news media spin this. Whatever side, whatever country the news media is coming from, they'll say, "Well, our guy's right." Then the other country's media will say, "Well, our guy's right." And they're both lying to each other. So how do you tell whenever a politician is lying or not? Yeah, go ahead.
Their lips are moving,
yeah. And that is so often the case. I know that we laugh about that, but that is so often the case. Rarely can you trust them. And I say that because I often wonder, this is just me talking here, so you take it or leave it, but I often wonder if all that's happening politically right now is just a giant distraction, particularly for Christians. Try to get you all worried or concerned or committed and trusting in somebody or something that has no eternal good at all. So I say be careful about that. Because there are a lot of things that can distract us in this world today. A lot of things. The younger folks got their social media and their video games. And you know what the devil throws out there for older folks? Politics. And he says, "I'll distract them, and ultimately I will divide them by politics. And then in the process, I will deceive them greatly so that I can ultimately destroy them." I think there's a sermon outline in there. Distract, deceive, destroy. Somewhere in there, there's a sermon outline. Now, Don, you can take that one if you want. But you understand that the devil is out to get you off thinking about things that don't really matter. And I don't know about you, but I feel the pressure to just focus on anything other than what's most important, God's Word. Souls, focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to please Him in everything you do. I just feel this, more so I'd say in the last few years than ever, last 3 or 4 years, just pressure to just be distracted. Y'all feeling that? Distracted, so ultimately the devil's out to destroy. Okay, let's go to the next one here. There's a negative. Let's go to Psalm 27. Back over to Psalms. We'll go to Psalms for a couple here, and then we'll end up in Exodus. Psalm 27. So there's your negative heart for the evening. Avoid a mischievous heart. Make sure that you're aware of people who might be up to no good. They got mischief in their heart, even though they might sound like they're on your side. So beware of that one. Also, I warn all of us to beware of mischief in our own hearts. Trying to do one thing, yet internally something else is going on. Just trying to look good in the sight of men. That's mischief. Psalm 27. Look at verse 14. Psalm 27, 14. Another Psalm of David here. Another prayer. Real good prayer. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. So here's the second heart tonight. A strengthened heart. Or you could say a strong heart. So from that verse, let's just take a look at that particular verse. In order to have a heart that is strengthened by God, there is a requirement. It's conditional. What do you have to do? Wait on the Lord. Okay, so I got thinking about this one. If you want to improve the condition of your physical heart, there are some things you can do. The thing that the doctor always says, two things the doctor always says is make sure you're careful about what you put in your mouth, your diet, and make sure you get exercise, right? And here's what folks do. They'll change their diet and their exercise regimen for maybe a week. And then they say, I don't see any difference. I don't feel any difference. I took my blood pressure and it hadn't gone down at all. I gave it a week. Folks, it takes time, especially if your heart's in really bad shape. It takes time for that heart. Am I right, Miss Katie and Zane? It takes time, maybe months, sometimes years, for your heart to get in a really good condition, depending on how poor it is, whenever you start to do things different. So spiritually, if you want to have a strengthened heart, you got to ask God for it. But then there's another thing you got to do. You got to wait. Now, there's something that goes along with that. So let's go to the next verse. But waiting, being patient, goes along with having a strengthened heart. So go to Psalm 31. Let's get another thing that goes along with a strong heart. A heart that is strengthened by the Lord. Psalm 31. I'll try to give you three things that will help you have a strengthened heart. Here's the second one. Waiting, being patient is one. Psalm 31, last verse in the chapter, actually. Verse 24. 31:24. Here it is again. We saw this in the other psalm. Be of good courage. So courageous. A courage is connected with a strong heart. We've seen that twice. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. So you got to wait on the Lord. You also got to hope in the Lord. Now, that word hope, a little different in your Bible, the way it's used and the way that we often use it. In your Bible, when you see that word hope, it's not it might happen. In fact, here's how you can define hope in the biblical sense. Hope in the Bible is a sure thing. So you can actually connect that word hope oftentimes with trust and faith. So you want to have a heart strengthened by the Lord? Well, we've seen a couple things here. You got to wait. We've seen be of good courage a couple of times. And now we've seen hope in the Lord. So here's something that's really helped me to have a heart that is strengthened. And I'm obviously still a work in progress, but growing up, I have the great privilege of having a father who has a strong heart. He really does. And being 82 years old now, going to be 83 in October, it's physical and spiritual, which is really neat. And what I have seen in him is times in our family, or even just him, and it really didn't necessarily involve me, but times of great difficulty. And time again, I have seen my dad say, in this situation, there's only one thing we can do, and that's trust the Lord. I can't tell you how many times I've heard him say that. I've actually myself gone to my dad, what do I do? this, this, and this. Lay out this whole scenario. And he says, well, you need to trust the Lord. Amen. So a history of seeing another person trust the Lord and seeing that the Lord always takes care when you trust Him resulted in me understanding finally, I just need to trust the Lord. And when you have time tested the Lord in trusting Him, you've seen Him deliver, haven't you? This group of people, you can say that, right? Over and over, you've seen trust in the Lord result in God supplying your need. And He doesn't always do it overnight. Sometimes He makes you wait. But again, the result here, trusting in the Lord, hoping in the Lord, waiting on the Lord, God will give you a strong heart. So strengthen your heart by waiting on the Lord, by trusting the Lord, by being of good courage and just continually trusting Him. Go to Psalm 23. How about this one? This will kind of tie everything together. Psalm 23. I'm sorry, 73. Psalm 73. Add 50 to that. Psalm 73, 26. Psalm 73, towards the end, verse 26. 73, 26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So there's the last verse I'll give you here on a strengthened heart, and that kind of ties everything together. When you are leaning on the Lord and trusting wholeheartedly in Him, the result will be you will have a strengthened heart. So is that a heart that every saved person should desire? Amen. So if you don't have a strengthened heart, get one. Now you have a strong physical heart through, as I said before, diet and exercise. So you want to have a strong spiritual heart? How about some spiritual exercise and a good spiritual diet? All kinds of spiritual activities you can get involved in. Prayer is a really good one to start with. Witnessing is another one. How about spiritual diet? What better diet is there than God's words to partake of? These pure words will help strengthen your heart. Okay, last heart here. Go to Exodus 35. Last couple verses here, several verses here in the same chapter. Exodus 35. Don't want to have a mischievous heart. Instead, want to have a strengthened heart. And here's number three, Exodus 35. So when you get over this part of Exodus, a lot of people think it's boring reading. And what's happening here is you got a lot of things pertaining to the tabernacle. And if you just skip this in your Bible reading, you're missing out, because the tabernacle was the place where God dwelt during the wilderness journey of the children of Israel. So do you think the tabernacle was pretty important to the Lord? So don't just skip this. And there are great riches to be dug out of these chapters about the tabernacle. We spent some time over the years on that. So many neat things in these chapters. So every word you see there is on purpose. Every little piece of the tabernacle was important. Look at verse 21. This is whenever they're actually making a collection of things. Exodus 35, 21. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. Okay, so notice in verse 21, the heart is stirred, and the spirit is made willing. You want to note that. Look at 22. And they came, both men and women, as many as were, what's that next word? Willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. So this is a neat little progression. 21, the heart is stirred, and the spirit made willing. That results in verse 22, those who are willing-hearted. So here's the last heart for the evening, a willing heart. And in this case, they were willing to bring things that would ultimately be used for the service of the tabernacle. Understand, these are things that belong to the Israelites, but what did they do with them? They said, Lord, you take them and you use them so that we can actually have the construction of the tabernacle. So they were saying, I'm going to take something that belongs to me, and I'm going to give it away for the purpose of God's work. So they were willing-hearted in doing that. Go to verse 20. Let me see. I must have the wrong verse here. Tell you what. Let's back up. I actually skipped. Back up to verse 5. I skipped some stuff here. Same chapter. Verse 5. Went down to the second reference before I looked at the first one here. You'll see the same thing here. Verse 5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skin dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood, and oil for the light and spices for anointing oil and for the sweet incense and onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. Verse 10, watch it. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. So notice there's a request for materials for the tabernacle. And then he says, only come and bring if you have what kind of heart? A willing heart. And then it tells you all the things that they brought. Notice, this is a really neat connection. Verse 10, we already said the willing heart back in verse 5, but what kind of heart do you have in verse 10? It says, and every wise-hearted among you shall come. So a willing heart is also associated with a wise heart. So remember, these were sacrificial offerings that the Israelites were not forced to give. They gave out of the willingness of their hearts. Go down there to verse 29. This is where I wanted to end up here, so we'll just end up here. 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman, whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Now, I know this crowd. The only reason you're here is because you wanted to be here. Right? Therefore, you had a willing heart to be among God's people and to hear from the Lord and to pray and bring our burdens and cast them on the Lord. You had a willing heart. So I'll end you with this little statement here. You need a willing heart in order to fulfill God's will for your life. So what you have to do is you have to say, Lord, I want my will to fulfill your will. Now, when you do that, here's what you end up saying. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And that can sometimes cost you. But anything the Lord asks you to give, 100% of the time, it's worth it. Amen? It's worth it to have a willing heart, to be willing to do what God wants you to do to ultimately fulfill His will. Your will has to be in subjection to the will of God. When that happens, folks, great things can happen. Especially, it can happen with one person. Willing-hearted person. One willing-hearted person can get a lot done for the Lord. Then you have a group of people, all who are, I just want to do God's will. It's not about any one of them and anybody standing out and looking good. It's about a group of people wanting to fulfill God's will. Now you can get some things accomplished, right? How many men did the Lord Jesus Christ lean on to carry out the Great Commission? How many? 12, but then minus one. And I know they replaced them, I understand that. But you're looking at just really a couple handfuls of men. And that's what it started with 2,000 years ago. The Lord didn't take 1,000. Modern day guys would say, I'm going to have a big conference. I've got to get at least 1,000 people here to get something done, right? Send them out. The Lord took just a couple handfuls. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we preach the same thing that those apostles preached. Wow. You know why that happened? Those men were of a willing heart. That's how it gets done. Amen? So, I hope that you'll leave tonight with a willing heart and with a strengthened heart, but not a mischievous heart. Leave that one behind. Amen? But don't leave it in the church. Throw it on the ground and stomp on it or something. But you don't want any part of that. All right, let's pray together. Thank you, Lord God, for just showing us a whole lot about ourselves. And I know it is so easy to point fingers here at our world and different individuals and personalities and organizations that are just doing things the wrong way. And I pray that instead of doing that, we would take an inward look and we would make sure that our hearts are right with you and are willing and strengthened by you. I pray that you would really use this local church here in this community to get your work done. I pray that all of us be submissive and willing to be obedient to your will and just carry out the work that you have for us to do in this time, this incredible time that we're living here. We pray for your hand of protection on us as we leave, and we ask all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.